Hey, and welcome to The Unwind, where we talk all things tech and video games. We have a couple of big releases to talk about today. I am your favorite Windows fanboy, Rob Steller.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
And I'm Sean Thomas. So we're going to start this week. So, Rob, how do you like iOS 7?
You know, I got iOS 7 on my Windows phone. I jailbroke it just so I could get it.
I saw one of those
Does
Facebook
not compute.
Posts.
My phone just blew up when I did it.
I saw one of those funny Facebook posts on Imgur, and it just showed somebody posting, when does my Galaxy get the iOS 7 update? Do I have to pay for it? I was like, there's a couple of things wrong with that sentence, but okay. But this was iOS 7 week on September 18th, yesterday. They started rolling out iOS 7 to their iPhone users. So I think iPhone 4 and above got the iOS 7 update. And I think, I don't actually know which iPads got the update.
iPad 2.
And 2 and above, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the iPads are pretty well off as far as being able to access that. The iPad 2 and the iPhone 4 are the iPhone 4 is missing quite a few of the updates. Does get the different look and feel, but it's missing a lot of the other features. The 4S is missing, which is the phone that I have, is missing AirDrop, so I haven't been able to test that out. I was actually pretty interested in that. But you have to have a 5 or higher for that. So, and same thing on the iPad 2. So the iPad 2 is basically the same as my 4S, as far as the features go. It doesn't have AirDrop.
Like, is that because of some Wi-Fi technology or something? Or?
I don't know. I take that back. Because AirDrop, I think it works off of Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. So I think it works off of low-power Bluetooth to see who's around you, and then it uses an ad hoc Wi-Fi network.
I think
my phone and the iPad 2 has, like, Bluetooth 2.0, but the others have Bluetooth 3 or Bluetooth 4. So I'm betting that's what it is. Or it just could be Apple trying to force people to upgrade.
So, you've got it on your phone. What do you think? What are first impressions?
Let's see. So, things that I absolutely love. I love Control Center. I've been waiting for something like that for a while. And, you know, Sean has something very similar on Android, the quick system settings. So, really love that. I actually wish it were a little bit more customizable or had a couple more features. Namely, I'm looking for VPN. I wish I had quick access to turn on the VPN instead of having to go into the menu system. But other than that, I think it's very well implemented. You can get to it from the lock screen, or you can turn that off, and so you have to actually unlock the phone to get to it. But either way, it's pretty slick. And other things I really like, the multitasking cards. So they stole that straight out of WebOS, which came out, 4 or 5 years ago? So you
well,
know,
let's be honest. Everybody kind of copied that.
Everybody's
copied
that. Yeah.
So I mean, it's good stuff, and I like it. It's just easier to see which programs you had open, and you can very quickly force quit them. Whereas before, you had to kind of tap and hold until it went into this kind of jiggle mode, and you got the little minus sign.
Jiggle mode.
Hey, when I teach people how to use iPads, this is part of my job, I actually call it jiggle mode.
Is that the official Apple? That's the Apple lingo, right?
That's the Josiah lingo.
Oh, it's Josiah, I've said that. And he's watching the new jiggle mode.
We really wanted to get down to the bare essentials of jiggle mode. And I really like the multitasking cards. No limit folders. So before you had a limit of I think it was 12 apps within a folder, and now you can see only 9 apps in the folder, but you can swipe to the right or left to add more apps to the folder.
Do you really put that many in a folder?
What's that?
Do you really find yourself putting that many in a folder?
Yeah, because the way I organize it, you know, I have like. So I have a couple big folders, like a folder for reference, right? So I've got the dictionary app in there. I've got Google Earth. I've got a periodic table. I've got just all these reference apps like Wikipedia and stuff like that in there. So there have been a couple folders, and when I had iOS 6 and 5, that I just couldn't put everything in. So I had to have, like, part two. So, it, you know, it's a tiny little thing that you think that they probably could have handled a long time ago, but they finally put it in, and I'm really appreciating it. And the last thing I'll say that I really like that kind of took me by surprise, partly because I wasn't reading, I kind of wanted to be surprised by the OS, so I wasn't reading every little detail about it, but iTunes Radio. Huh. So at first I was thinking, okay, you know, it's just a Pandora replacement, but I had to do a double take earlier today when I was testing it out. What they did was they actually enabled cloud playing of any song that you've purchased from iTunes in the past. So, you know, it's nothing brand new, like, you know, Spotify lets you play songs from by streaming them.
I mean, that's what Xbox Music does.
Yeah, and Google Play Music. So all of those let you do that, but that requires a subscription. And then Amazon Cloud Player lets you do that, you know, so any song that I've purchased through Amazon, I can stream through the cloud player. So it's nothing new, but for whatever reason, I wasn't expecting it from iTunes Radio. I hadn't read that was part of the package. So it's got the Pandora radio stations thing that I like, and I like it a little bit better than Pandora, because one of my main issues with Pandora were the ads were just a little janky. You know, I would always get, like, date black women in your area. One, I'm married, and two, you know, I don't know if I'd take Pandora's recommendation on women. But and then they always
It already knows your music, man.
Yeah. And they would always play kind of like weird B-side versions. I don't know how to say it, like weird versions of songs and stuff like that. Like they got the discount license version.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was cool, but most of the time it was just like, I wish they'd play the version that I'm familiar with. So, you know, iTunes Radio has all the good licensed versions and everything. And it's very simple to, you know, just find a genre and play that instead of in Pandora trying to train it and say, well, I like this song, so play something similar. And, you know, it's not as cool an idea as the musical DNA is that Pandora uses. It's just not as transparent as play songs from the 80s, you know, or play songs from the 90s, or play Billboard charts hits from whatever period. So I kind of prefer that. And so, yeah, iTunes Radio has been kind of a surprise today and yesterday. And I think, you know, I'm going to play with it a little bit more, but I think it might convince me to cancel my subscription to Spotify and start buying music again. Mm-hmm. Partly because, you know, I've been reading all these articles about, you know, Spotify gives like 0.0000 cents per listen of royalties, and it, you know, for people that you really enjoy their music and you enjoy what they're doing, you kind of want to support them. So, yeah, I'm toying with that idea. I'm going to maybe test it out for another month and see if I really use iTunes Radio that much, and maybe I'll start buying music again.
Yeah, we should, at some point, we should talk about online streaming and stuff like that. And the whole royalty thing is interesting, but I guess we won't get into all that.
Yeah, I don't have time today. So those are the things I love. I have a list of things that are so-so and that I'm not crazy about, but if you guys want to throw anything in there, I'll shut up for a while.
So I mean, obviously I don't have an iPhone or an iPad, but I did get to play with Josiah's phone for like 5 minutes this morning.
You read all my emails?
Yeah, well. I read all the tweets. So actually I like the look of it better than the old look.
Yeah.
And, you know, my whole thing about Apple devices and software is that they haven't really changed anything recently, and finally they have somewhat, or at least they're trying to, which is good in my opinion. I mean, it's not enough to make me switch, but it looks good. The only thing, obviously a lot of my friends have been posting stuff on Twitter and Facebook, and I've heard a lot of people, it's like, it goes both ways. It's so mixed. But, like, I think just how you said this last week, I mean, people after 3 days, you know, they'll get over whatever they don't like, and then they'll keep using it anyway, and then they'll love it. The camera thing is, the camera app is one thing people talked a lot about that they liked. The thing that they didn't like is it seemed to be slow on a lot of the older phones and the iPad, too.
Yep, so that's on my not happy list. I've got the 4S,
sad list.
Which is not the oldest phone that uses it. Like we said, the 4 will let you update to iOS 7. And for the most part, it seems snappy enough, but when I double-click the home button to go to multitasking, it seems like there's an extra half-second pause that just wasn't there before. But as far as, you know, actually using apps and stuff like that, I don't feel like it's stuttering while I'm using anything, but there does seem to be kind of this half-second pause when I go to the multitasking and also when I load up some apps. So, you know, it's starting to show its age. My phone is almost 3 years old now. Over 2 years old, but not quite 3 years old.
Oh, maybe if you had a 64-bit chip, you wouldn't have these problems.
Who knows, right? So Apple would have us believe.
That's kind of big, though, that it does stutter like that. I mean, yes, you know, you're putting a new operating system on an older device, but, I mean, that's kind of one thing I feel that Apple was always good at, was making devices that didn't show this lag.
Yeah, the iPhone 3 had the same the iPhone 3G, so there was the iPhone, and then they skipped 2 and went to the 3G, and then the 3GS is what I started with. And so when the iPhone, when iOS 5 came out, maybe it was 5 or 6, no, I think it was 5, on the iPhone 3, it was kind of a shit show. And so, you know, I wouldn't say it's not in the history that this happens. But I think they earnestly try to make sure that it works, and that's why they do limit some of the features on the older phones.
What about, so is the 4C going to have, or sorry, 5C going to have the same problem then?
No, I don't think so, because, the iPhone 5, I haven't heard anybody say that it's been slow on the iPhone 5. It's mainly the 4, and a little bit, like I said, on the 4S. I actually saw benchmarks on the 4S, and they said it didn't really stutter, but it definitely was slower by anywhere from half a second to 2 seconds, which, you know, is a long time when you're just used to just tapping things and animations popping up and so forth. So the things that I'm not crazy about, kind of in the middle about, are the look and feel. I know, Rob, you just said you really like the look and feel. You know, some of the colors are a little too vibrant for me. Like I said last week, I'm sure they'll just grow on me, but like the red is kind of an orange red, and I think I just have a slight bias towards orange red.
A friend of mine posted that it looks like a 7-year-old picked out the colors. Looks like a SpongeBob color palette.
Yeah, so funny thing about that. So, you know, a while ago there was this research firm that came out with this study saying that teenagers don't talk about the iPhone. The iPhone is not cool anymore. You know, that was maybe a year ago. And then just starting yesterday, obviously, with the release of iOS 7, they've been tracking Twitter and other social networks, and, like, teens are going nuts about iOS 7, and they're like, oh, I love it. I love the colors. I love it. And, you know, I think a big part of that is Justin Bieber posted some selfies and said, he said he likes it and stuff like that. So
Ars it's a big Technica, endorsement.
Well, yeah, but Ars Technica, who wrote this story, they went and looked up that report about teens not liking the iPhone and iPhone not being cool, and they took it off of their website. So it's kind of like eating their own word a little bit. So, I mean, you know, It just takes something, takes a little tweak like this. Well, I guess it's not a little tweak, but, you know, it takes a tweak like this, and, you know, you can get that market back so quickly because teams are...
Got to re-energize that base.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to get people hooked on the product. It's just like cigarettes, right? So
yes.
So anyhow, you know, I'm not crazy about the look. Some parts I think are pretty cool, and other parts.
I can't believe you got rid of the what's it called? The dynamic background. What do they call it?
Oh, they call it
the parallax
view.
The parallax. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I
turned
that off.
That's like the best thing.
It's so impractical because I'm not going to be changing the angle of my phone while I'm using it.
But it looks funny when you look at it from an angle.
If I showed it to somebody, if I was sitting next to somebody and I turned it and showed it to them, then they'd see that animation and it'd be like, impressed. Oh, that's cool. But yeah. When I'm using it, it just slows things down. So yeah, so I took it off. I guess I'm more function than form, right? You can tell, right?
That reminds me of when Vista had that thing where you could their alt tab and it would do this 3D view. I'm like, that is useless. it's just scrolling. I don't know.
Speaking of that 3D view, though, I mean, that's kind of how the tabs are on Safari, right? So they don't have tabs anymore. They have that kind of stacked stacked card view, which is very similar to what Vista used to have.
Maybe you could argue since you have limited space, it makes more sense. Because on a computer, on a PC, I mean, you have the whole screen.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I guess Chrome handles it more like they don't do that effect, but it's tabs stacked on tabs.
Yeah.
Tabs on tabs.
And actually, on Safari, they didn't... Early on, they used tabs, and then they switched to cards, like you'd swipe left and right. But so this stacked 3D view, I kind of like it. I think it does save space a little bit, but you know, I'm not going crazy over it. So overall, the look and feel pretty nice, but some things kind of leave a question mark in my mind.
Well, I think there's two sides to the whole look, because you were saying how like teenagers really like it. I mean, this won't turn into everybody's throwing out their phone, but I do think there are people, older people, who feel like it's less professional looking. It's, you know, like color, there's a way you could do colors and make it look artsy, and then there's kind of cartoony. So, you know, I think there is that, okay, you can get the teenagers, but a business user, this isn't the same thing, but kind of like having colored phones. There are some people who is like, oh, this is going to fit my style, but at the same time, there are other people who are like, I'm not going to go into a business meeting with a blue phone.
Rob.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love
just cut
this.
Loose and get that yellow phone, man.
No, I want the cyan one, and I want the keyboard to go with it, because I think that would look pretty slick, but I don't know. I don't think I could pull that out of a suit.
If it's a Miami Vice suit, you can.
Oh, don't start.
and ride a motorcycle into the boardroom.
With the look and feel, did you ever... I think the first concern a lot of people had, and my understanding is they changed it over the betas, but that there was some level of confusion. Like either the colors would look one way on something and not on another way, or a big thing is they took out the back button. They took out the back arrow, right? Okay. Like you kind of just assume
they took out all the arrows and replaced it with text, I think, right?
Yeah. So like how?
Yeah, so it's mostly text, but they have kind of like a very simplified arrow that kind of looks like a less than or greater than sign in some places. Okay. But yeah, a lot of the buttons, traditional buttons, are gone. The places where they do have buttons, the gradient is much more subtle, so it doesn't look like it's beveled. It doesn't look like a 3D button. It's just a more gradual fade. Or in some places it's just a solid color, and it does look flatter because of that. And they still have drop shadows in some places, but they're again more subtle. And then in other places they completely got rid of the drop shadows.
So overall, though, you're kind of lukewarm, but you think you're going to get used to it?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's actually going to switch to a Windows phone.
Because there are no black colors.
No.
It is, what were you going to say?
At least it doesn't lag.
I was going to say, I mean, it is funny that we always talk about, you know, people have maligned Microsoft for this whole new Metro look, but pretty much everybody's going flat. Google has gone flat, their new logo is flat, and all their apps are flat. Apple's going flat. I mean, even the whole tile idea, so many websites I see now use the whole tile idea to some extent. So it's kind of funny. Maybe it's just that people don't want that for their whole OS, but it's interesting. I wonder if they'll change OS 10. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I mean, obviously it won't be in Mavericks. That's the next one, right? But
yeah. No, I agree. It definitely, because, you know, iOS was a carryover of the Cocoa interface, which had that, you know, that rounded edges and beveled look. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually change that. Maybe next year. It's a little bit too late, but so I see we have some questions here. One is in Spanish, and
Sean
my Spanish is horrible.
Hi,
so
I am a person who's 12 and an actor. How can we come in? So I don't know. Sorry, buddy.
I'm not sure that's on topic, so we'll say thanks, Caesar, but or Cesar, but I'm going to move on to the other question, which I'm not really qualified to answer. What do you think of game apps like Subway Surfers or Temple Run? I haven't played those, so
Temple Run is fun.
Yeah, I've seen them in action. I think they're cool, but just not really the type of game that I typically play. So, I don't think they've made any changes though for iOS 7, as far as I've heard.
Shouldn't have, right?
Maybe. I mean, they might update and change some of the menus, but you know, a game typically is going to have its own look and feel, and not use a lot of the templates in the operating system to begin with. So, like I said, I don't play those games, so I don't know, honestly, if they did get updated. I did get, like, in the last 2 days, I did have to update, like, 50 different apps on my phone. That was pretty nuts.
Really? So, I mean, so that's interesting, because that also means that I assume app developers are already ready updating iOS 7. I feel like that's one thing they've been good at, because, I mean, it's cash cow for many of them. So,
well, it's funny because you don't get the new keyboard unless you update it, right?
Right.
So if you go into an app.
That's really weird.
Yeah, right? It doesn't make much sense.
And a lot of the updates have been free. I've actually only paid for one app that updated significantly, and they made it a paid upgrade. So
wait, you paid for it the first time, and then you have to pay to update it?
Well, you can't do that in the App Store, so they made it another app. And actually, I'm going to talk about that, because that's the one that's in my category, the not happy category. So my not happy things, one we kind of already talked about, some of these animations that seem to slow things down on my 4S, and like Rob mentioned, reports saying that it's pretty, there's some stuttering and stuff like that, especially on the iPhone 4. So not happy with that, but like I said, I feel like Apple tries to earnestly keep that in check, but wish they could have done a little bit better, because I don't see all the animations as absolutely necessary. And then the other thing is the calendar. Not to say that it's bad, it's more of a relative thing, because the previous calendar, I would say, was bad. And the way I use my calendar is, yes, I said calendars, plural, because on my phone, I used to have, like, I think I had 5 calendar apps.
Wow.
A couple I was just testing, but I could not use the native calendar app at all. It was just a piece of crap as far as I was concerned. And so I had this other calendar app from Readdle, a company that makes a bunch of different apps. And so that was kind of my go-to, but it was lacking in a couple areas, so I had a couple others. So
so anyhow, favorite calendar app.
What's that?
What was your favorite calendar app?
Probably Calendars by Riattle, and that's the one I paid for. They did a big UI overhaul, and they decided to make it a paid version. So they made it a new version, and instead of updating, you had to pay for it. And so, you know, I really liked the first one that I paid for, so I figured, okay, I'll pay for the second one.
What about the other stock apps? Do they update those?
Yeah, all the stock apps are updated.
I should say, do you like the changes that they made? Was there anything very significant that you noticed?
Yeah, for the most part, I like them. The Photos app, I think, is pretty slick. How they implemented the Moments view or the Albums view.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty cool. Haven't had a whole bunch of time to play with it yet, though. Like I said, the iTunes Radio, which is not its own app, it's actually in the old, music app. So that, by far, I think for me is the biggest improvement.
Sean's making me laugh. I'm sorry. Needs a haircut.
That's the thing I like the most. The Mail app is pretty good. A lot of people complain about the Mail app. I never thought it was bad. I didn't think it was great, but I don't think it's terrible either. And so they made it a little bit better, but it's still missing a couple of features.
Is that what you use, or do you use a third party?
For work, I use the regular Mail app because it's the only one where, well, not the only one, but a lot of the other third-party ones work only with Google or something like that. And at work, we don't use Google. We use Microsoft Exchange. So, yeah, I use that one. I use the native app, Mail app, for work. And I use Mailbox, which is now owned by Dropbox, for my Google app.
Yeah, I guess the best two alternatives got bought, right? Because Sparrow got bought and Mailbox.
Yeah, I actually used to use Sparrow. And then Google bought it, and they stopped updating it. So when Mailbox came out, I switched to that, and now Dropbox bought it. But I'm pretty sure they're going to keep supporting it for iOS. That'd be crazy if they didn't.
Yeah,
so, yeah, you know, like I said, the native apps that really stick out for me are the music app, which includes iTunes Radio, and the photo app. But all the others are, you know, they're there. You can't delete them. So they're there.
So do you feel like this update was more, I mean, clearly it was more aesthetic as opposed to app overhaul, but I mean, how much
I disagree. I would say it's very much, for me, the way I use my devices, my iPad and my iPhone, for me it's very much a functional upgrade. Like I said, it's tiny little things, but it's because you can't customize iOS like you can on an Android, and you can't skin it like you can on Android. To me, it's very much a functional thing with Control Center, with the multitasking cards, with the no limit on the folders. It's about features for me rather than the look and feel.
Sorry, I guess I was talking about core apps, but I don't know if the core apps change significantly as well. I mean, clearly, yeah, for adding multitasking.
Yeah, but I mean, the core apps, so like Mail added a couple features, but, you know, it still doesn't have some of the basic things that you'd expect, like show me just my unread email and stuff like that, right? So that's a little bizarre. Like I was saying, the calendar still doesn't quite meet my needs. It doesn't have a good week view on the iPhone. It has a week view on the that's W-E-E-K view on the iPad, which has a bigger screen, but it doesn't have that on the iPhone. And that's typically what I prefer to look at, is what's my week look like, rather than what's my day look like. And it doesn't have a very good solution for that. You know, other native apps like the calculator. It's a calculator. You know, you're not going to really innovate there unless you make it a graphing calculator. And, you know, they're not going to make a native graphing calculator.
Guys, business.
You know, the Compass app, they added a level, right? So you don't have to go out and get a third-party app for free, because most of them are free now, to have a level. You just have it right there on the phone.
That's pretty cool.
So, you know, it's cool, but it's not, like, life-altering.
Unless you have to level a lot of things.
Yeah, I guess so, if I were
a
carpenter.
You're using your iPhone to do that.
Yeah. All those cool carpenters. All those hipster carpenters out there.
Actually, one random thing I don't like. I'm still in the middle on the look. Oh, this is what I want to ask you. What's your background? Because I feel like, I mean, tell me if this is true. I feel like the background changes a lot because they're using a lot of translucent stuff. So.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So my background, I used to have kind of darker backgrounds on the lock screen and on the home screen. So I had this picture of the moon that I had taken as my background. And, you know, obviously it's just black with the kind of off-white yellow picture of the moon in the bottom right-hand corner. And I kind of mapped it out so I left that space blank, like I didn't have apps cover up that part, so you'd always see the moon on the screen. And so when I installed iOS 7 with all the translucency, it just looked like really gray. And it's like, this is kind of boring. And then I realized, oh yeah, it's because of my black background. So I went to one of the stock images that they included. They have these new stock images. And it really does pop. It really makes a big difference, like what color you choose. So right now I have this kind of, actually I'll hold it up. Let me swipe to a screen that doesn't have much on it. No, that's not going to work. That was a terrible idea. it's a blue background with all these stars. So it's kind of like the night sky just as at twilight or maybe sunrise. So it works very nicely. It looks nice. And they added this thing, dynamic backgrounds. So basically backgrounds that are animated. To my knowledge, I don't think they're planning on accepting third-party versions of those, but maybe, I don't know. So you have to use, I think they give you, it's basically just bubbles that are floating around in different colors to match the iPhone C.
I remember they had, you know, Android tried to make it live wallpapers a big deal back, but they're kind of not that cool. The only time I thought I liked it was, have you guys ever seen CinemaGraphs? They got kind of popular.
Oh, yeah.
So I ended up using CinemaGraphs as my, for those that don't know, it's essentially, it's a GIF image, but basically, it's hard to explain, but they're almost like scenic photos, and they'll decide what they want to animate. Like, for example, what I thought was cool was there's a tree, and you see leaves falling down. And it should always be something that's looped. So it's not something where, like, you can tell that it ends. But there's one that I saw that was cool. It was just rain, and it was just a nice picture. And it actually worked really well as a wallpaper. I mean, the only issue I had was that almost all the CinemaGraphs I saw were really low res. So on a 720p screen, it just took up a tiny portion.
Yeah.
That was probably the coolest one. The other live wallpapers were cool, but it seemed more gimmicky than anything. Like,
right. I don't know.
Galaxy users might like them, but you don't have that. I forgot you just got iOS.
How's what?
I was gonna say the fingerprint reader, but obviously.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't add that in.
Not yet.
Actually, one little thing I didn't like about the update was the bars for Signal. I don't like that they're all the same size.
Oh, the dots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I don't know. I guess I just. The thing I like about the bar is not that it matters, but I don't know. I guess since I can't differentiate, I can't tell how many are empty and how many are full. I don't know which one is which. Well, there's no empty circle, so if there's two...
No, there
is. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, it shows empty circle. I'm sorry.
Nah, come on, man.
What's your problem, man? Get your shit together.
I like that. That was like one of my favorite things that I saw this morning when I was playing it. I was like, oh, there's circles instead of bars.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
We'll forgive you.
You're wrong.
You don't have an iOS device to play with.
Yeah. I'm sorry. iOS phones. But yeah, I mean, I'm also interested to see how, when normal people use it, how it's going to change. How some people talked about, like, it was confusing, but not that it was confusing, that it wasn't as simple as people have come to expect. And it's not. And
I think it's just different. It's like the last few iOSs have been basically the same.
Yeah.
Something that's different.
Well, I'd say 4, 5, and 6 were all very, very similar.
It's not necessarily that. The difference were little things. Like, for example, there's a lot of swiping involved, which yep. If you've used phones a lot, it's totally like you're just used to it. But a lot of other people don't realize you can't swipe. I even noticed this when I used my N9. I don't know if you guys remember, but Migo was all swipe-based. Everything was swipe. So mm-hmm. When I switched to a Windows phone after that, I tried to swipe a couple things, and it wouldn't swipe, even though Windows Phone uses a lot of swiping. But my point is, things like that, also even taking away the back button in some areas, you kind of know, especially with breadcrumbs and things like that, you know you hit that button. And honestly, if you've had an iPhone before, you would assume that's a thing. But it's those little things that maybe might trip some people up. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a huge thing, but since Apple has built itself on ease of use, I wonder how people will adjust to it at first.
Yeah, I think the back buttons, like I said, I haven't gone through everything extensively, but I, for the most part, the back buttons are there. It either says back, like the text back, and then okay. A very simplified arrow that looks like a less than or greater than sign. And so, like in Safari, when you're just viewing, it goes into kind of a full screen mode, and it doesn't show that, but as soon as you tap it, and like if you're scrolling and let look go, for a split second, it does show the menus again at the bottom of the screen, and you do see a back and forward arrow. So, that might have been an earlier build of iOS 7, and then they figured out that is confusing, and they put it back in. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't decide to install the developer version, and I just figured let them figure it out and not get caught up in the hype cycle, so that when it finally came out, it would be what it was going to be.
Do you feel like you're getting more usable space since they've taken out a lot of the Chrome elements? Like, you know, even on the browser now, you don't have any of that blue around. It's kind of just the bar, and I don't know. Especially on a small phone. Well, now it's a small phone.
I don't browse a whole bunch on Safari on my phone. I typically prefer to use my iPad or something like that. Like, you know, I'll check a link from an email or something, but I don't. Or if I'm in a meeting or whatever, and somebody says something and I want to look up the link real quickly or go to that website, I'll do that on my phone if I don't have a larger screen with me. But when I'm at home and just like going through my RSS feed, I'm definitely at my computer or on my iPad. So, you know, in these 2 days only, I've played around with it, and it was funny because when I opened up Safari, I was like, oh, I hadn't looked at this. I hadn't right. opened up Safari in probably 3-4 weeks because I was looking at the pages that were still up there. I was like, oh, I was looking at that in some meeting like 4 weeks ago. And so I just don't use the browser on my phone that much. And that's partly because, like I said, I'm usually near a computer or my iPad. But with that said, yeah, I think it is a nice look to it, to see that full screen when you're browsing.
So are we going to get a full review from you, hopefully?
I don't know what else is. What else I can say? I mean,
we need a score.
7.
Wow.
I already forgot.
7 out of 7. It's iOS 7.
Yeah,
right?
Fair enough.
Well, if you're using the iPhone on Windows 7, you get the 7 out of 7 for iOS 7.
I mean, as far as updates go, let's say out of 10, right? As far as an update goes, I'd say it's probably a 9.
A right? Solid 9 or a weak 9?
I'd say a weak 9, like an 8.5 or between 8.5 and 9. But
B+,
I think it's a very solid update as far as, you know, operating systems on phones go. I played with Android a little bit.
We're going to just switch phones.
Yeah.
We're going to do a rotation. Yeah, so we're going to try it.
I can't say definitively, but I
and Rob's getting an iPhone.
I will make this point.
I'm going to steal Josiah's phone if he upgrades it.
I will make this one point, though. With iOS 7, or with iOS, I think it is very significant that, you know, we can complain about, oh, the servers were so slow yesterday, but that's because probably 200 to 300 million people were downloading it yesterday.
No, something like over 10% of iPhone users upgrade in the first day, I think.
Well, I mean, there's literally over 300 million devices that can upgrade to iOS 7.
Yeah, and they said 10%. So there you go.
So that's what, 30 million all at in the span of 24 hours.
It's pretty crazy.
And you can't do that with any Android device. You know, it's so fragmented.
Yeah, Sean.
It's just nuts to me. And I think that's why, you know, you had so much traffic on social networks yesterday, is because it was something that many, many people could do.
Well, so there was like 30 minutes. There was actually 30 minutes where all of social media just stopped. And that's 1 o'clock Eastern time when everybody was updating it and then trying to figure out how to use iOS 7.
Yeah. I can't go back. There's an arrow. It says back.
How do I get to Twitter? Siri. Yo, I will say, Siri just tried to talk to me the entire time I was on Josiah's phone, and she would not shut up. I was just trying to play around with his phone, and she kept coming up and trying to talk to me.
She doesn't know how to use the
button. I'm always bringing this sexism.
I'm kidding. I'm just saying. His phone.
He doesn't know how to use the button, so, I mean.
I mean, I get it. You know, she's attracted to the rebel with the Windows phone, but.
All right, so let's close this iOS 7.
All right, so there's another big release this week. I'm stealing Sean's intro, so go ahead, Sean.
So apparently, Android didn't come out. When did 8.1 come out?
Is that what we're talking about now?
No,
8.1's not out, but we will talk about this because I've been using 8.1. I got it early because that's what you get for being a Microsoft fanboy. So we'll talk about that next week, maybe.
Side note with that, I think this is just so sad. Apparently there was some report that CyanogenMod has, I don't know if you know, CyanogenMod is probably the most popular Android ROM. It's mostly stock, and if you're not using CyanogenMod, there's a good chance you're using something that uses CyanogenMod.
You're doing it wrong.
Yes, that's really popular. But anyway, the guys started at Steve.
They're going private, right?
Well, yeah. So they raised some money and they wanted to maybe make phones. And it's funny because with their current install base, if you consider them a different OS because they fork it, they would be more popular than Windows Phone.
Oh, wow.
Right now, they estimate that they have around, they said current installs are at 7 to 8 million, which is less than Windows Phone, but they estimate that only counts, if you allow to send your data back to them. So they estimate they have somewhere between 16 and 20, so they would actually take third place. I mean, I don't know. But
I have it on the touchpad, so.
Yeah. but anyway, that is neither here nor there. So, there was a video game that came out. It's kind of popular. Zelda Wind Waker HD. they took all of the cell shading and they actually just cleaned it up. So what do you guys think? Is that going to buy you a Wii U? I mean, is that...
I bought two Wii Us just to play that game.
Oh, man, because one wasn't enough. you couldn't handle that. Grand Theft Auto 5. Or as some would call it, Grand Theft Auto V. Apparently some people don't know they're the same thing. But Grand Theft Auto 5 came out for PS3 and Xbox 360. No PC yet. But it's kind of popular. I hear a few people played it.
So it sold $800 million worth in the first 24 hours, which is the highest ever,
right?
Maybe? Yes?
So,
Call of Duty?
So the way it worked was Call of Duty Black Ops.
Black Sox.
Black Sox.
That wasn't what I was going to say. Black Ops.
That's what you were going to say. Black Sox.
Was the highest selling. It actually was sold faster than Modern Warfare 3. But anyway, it had, I believe, 500 million in the first day, and it went to about a billion in 15 days. So now you have Grand Theft Auto, which has 800 million in the first day. They're going to break a billion.
They're going to break a billion, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think this is like the biggest, fastest grossing entertainment release, right? Because it's bigger than movies.
I think there was one movie that beat it.
What movie made $800 million in the first day?
I don't know.
Movies, they always say in the weekend, and it's always a holiday weekend, 3 to 4 day weekend. I don't think any movie has ever done $800 million in one day.
Does this say something about America that we all, people in general, that we all want to play Grand Theft Auto?
No, we'll get to that later, but the America point is interesting. But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, even though Grand Theft Auto was clearly a gigantic franchise and all that, I don't know, there was something about Call of Duty. It felt like every person wanted to play it. Like, it didn't really matter if you were a big gamer or something like that. And I don't know why. I always felt like Grand Theft Auto wasn't every single gamer. It always sold really well, but I didn't think it was going to do as well as it did. I knew it would do well. Clearly, it's Grand Theft Auto. But, I mean, $800 million. That not only beats COD, that eclipses it. I mean, you're talking almost double what COD did in a day.
Well, they made it with $300 million, so they've already made $500 million profit, which is more than some countries make in a year.
Wow, we make people feel crappy, Rob.
I'm just saying, Rockstar is basically
first world problems.
No, I know what you mean, but the scale is absolutely incredible.
It's crazy.
And it's funny because, you know, the only movie, I mean, movies are clearly more popular in the sense that since they're cheaper movie tickets, more people probably see a movie. Like, for example, so if you want to know, the $800 million in sales, I think it's around 13 million copies, something like that. So clearly you're going to sell more box office tickets.
But right.
You're talking, the only thing that comes close is Avatar. Avatar made over $2 billion, but that's like the movie. I mean, it pretty much doubled or something like that what Titanic
had.
And that's
the world market, right? So that's with, it didn't do $2 billion in sales in the U.S. market. Not to say that Rockstar did $2 billion in just the U.S. market. But,
oh, just the U.S.?
So I just looked it up. Opening weekends, and again, it's weekend, and it's usually a holiday weekend. The largest, according to this website, is $207 million. And that was The Avengers 2 years ago, or last year. So, you know, it just blows it out of the water. There's no comparison.
So I'm the only one out of this group that's played it, and
it sucks.
It's terrible. I don't know. I will say, if this wasn't the last week that I was working at this job I'm at now, I probably would have taken the week off, or at least a few days. I actually got denied to take a day off, which sucks.
Yeah.
But
all Rob is talking about at work is, oh, I wish I could go home and play GTA.
And kill
someone. He comes in at 8 in the morning, he's like, oh, I wish I could go home and play GTA 5.
So I've put in about 13 hours now, and this show is eating into my GTA time, which is ridiculous.
He's actually not playing it while we were on there.
Yeah, I would not have talked the entire time. So I don't want to talk too much. I'm not going to spoil anything, and I don't want to talk too much about the game itself because there's how many reviews, right? And it still has. Last time I checked, the Metacritic score was still at 97, 98, which is absurd.
Wow.
I can't really say too much that hasn't been said in all these reviews. I mean, it's. The map is absolutely massive. I mean, for someone who spent, 100 plus hours running around Skyrim, and to say that this map is even bigger, a lot bigger, is pretty crazy. And just the level of detail that goes into the map and different landscapes and all the different activities you can do. Like, I actually didn't play missions today. I just played golf and tennis. Why? I don't really know. But it's like playing The Sims, except you can murder people. Like, so it's like basically
box.
I basically played Top Spin and I played Tiger Woods PGA Tour, except when I didn't do well, I could just, you know, turn around and hit the other person with a club.
That's awesome.
It's just insane the amount of stuff you could do. Like, I spent over an hour yesterday just learning how to fly. They have a whole flying lesson, so they take you through planes and maneuvers and helicopters and skydiving. The best thing by far that I've done so far is the bank heist, which was a good 10 hours, I think, into the game. Well, maybe a little bit less. But it's just so cinematic. You switch between views while you're doing each of these heists. Everybody has different roles, so you get to play out different parts of it as it unfolds.
And you do a lot of the planning before the heist, right?
Yeah, there's like three or four missions before it where you stake out what you're doing, and then you get the equipment that you're doing, and then the crew and stuff. It's really cool, which I guess is more or less like Payday, right? So, I mean, this is basically like every other game that's ever been made, just wrapped into one.
What's
game.
Payday?
Isn't that the bank heist game?
It's a bank robbing game. I haven't played it, so I don't know all the mechanics of it. But yeah, it is a bank.
Yes. So it's crazy though that this many. Oh, I'm the other thing too. So the online part of it doesn't launch until October 1st. I know Sean wouldn't care, but I just want to make my own guy and make a lot of money and build houses and then.
Yeah, it's interesting though.
It's crazy. So I will say it's interesting that there's been all the three best games of this console generation, in my opinion, have come out this year, which is BioShock Infinite, Last of Us, and this, which is pretty crazy, especially because the new generation starts in 2 months, right?
Yeah.
And GTA just came out, which is kind of crazy. I will say, like, a lot of people talk about how good the graphics were, and I don't think they're that good. I mean, for the console, I guess maybe, but like for somebody who's used to playing PC and has seen Crysis on the highest settings with $1,000, cards.
I wonder though, like more of the art direction. Like, I saw some videos of it, and the way it, like, I mean, I haven't been to LA in years, but it had that California look, like just the sun setting, and so it's more the art direction more than the
that's definitely true.
The detail that I've seen, so not like pixel count and textures, but just like there's driving, so many different items.
You're driving around the city and you literally have every type of landscape possible, plus just from every single building, skyscraper, you know, dock and house. It's just crazy how much detail went into this map.
And there's no loading screens, right?
No. Yeah. The entire thing is just straight.
I mean, there's obviously some pop-in.
Wow.
What do you expect? I mean, it's so funny too to think that I don't remember what the Xbox has, but the PS3, its graphics card is pretty much a modified GTX 7800, which, you know, 7800, 8800, 9800, the 200 series, the 400 series,
500, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And well, they don't have 700 or 8, do they? Well, Titan is like its own thing. But my point is, like,
this is so old.
Just garbage, you know, hardware, really. Like, it's
I'd love to see this on the PC. Did you see that mod?
It's, what, 7 years old, right?
I mean, you saw the mod they did for GTA 4 where they just updated the graphics on it. So if they could do that to this, it would be just insane.
I mean, I'm sure if they did it on PC, it would be more effects. High res, obviously, because a lot of stuff doesn't run in 1080p. I mean, nothing really does. And what is it, like anti-aliasing and stuff like that. I think they're still pretty. They said they weren't going to do one, and then there's a lot of, you know, internet.
The only problem I've seen is, and I also have one of the older models of the 360, but there was drops in frame rates.
Not
frequently enough that it's bothered me, but. You know, it's not uncommon, I guess.
Like during some of the action scenes?
No, it's actually mostly when I'm driving. If I'm driving fast and it's a heavy populated area, it'll skip a little bit.
But. You know, that's funny because Saints Row, on my PC, I had that problem. It would be super smooth, but when I would drive and go from place to place, sometimes when it was adding the motion blur or something like that, all of a sudden it would go really slow. And I wonder if it's just, you know, loading in people, but.
I mean, to be fair, though, you do front-load everything. I mean, they have an entire install disk that you
sit there for 20 minutes and wait for, I think, I forget what it was, like 13, 14 gigs that you installed from the beginning, which must be mostly the map, I mean, you would think, right?
Yeah. Although, you know, related to that, I never understood, do you guys, what is loading? I mean, like, so, you know, a PC game, it's always installed on the PC. I mean, yeah, they used to have ones where it would run off the CD as well, but almost always you could install the whole game. What is loading? You know, it's on there. Is it?
Loading is putting it into RAM.
Okay, but...
So...
Okay.
Well, so why doesn't GTA have to do it?
No, it does.
Yeah. Not the map, though. Like, in older games, even in this console, you would have to load a different area when you got to it, right?
Yeah, so they're using some very slick compression. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting what I read. So there were a lot of things where people were saying on the Xbox. I don't know how it's different on the PS3, but on the Xbox, if you install... So there's two discs on the Xbox version. There's the install disc and the play disc. And if you install, like, put the play disc on your piece on your Xbox, it actually slows it down. And from what I understand, the reason why is because what the Xbox was doing was it would read off the hard drive off the installed disc and read off the play disc simultaneously. So it'd be reading two different threads or whatever.
Yeah, the big pop-ins, yeah.
But if you do put both on the hard drive, you would have to read the play disc and the install disc. I mean, apparently they've done some fixes. I haven't really followed on it, but it's interesting to think. I mean, I guess that's a clever way of, you know, getting around that.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks good. Like, I'm not trying to say it looks like, you know, PlayStation 1 blockhand graphics or anything. But, you know, just from playing PC recently and then going back to playing console for The Last of Us and for this, it's just... You know, it's just not what I expect anymore. But like you said, I mean, you're running 7-year-old graphics cards.
Yeah. I will say for me, I mean, obviously I haven't played it, but for me, pretty much always, art direction takes precedence over.
It doesn't take away from it. It's just, yeah, you know, something I've noticed.
Well, I've heard the actual shooting mechanics have gotten a lot better. Because if you think about it,
I don't like over the shoulder shooting. I had to put up with it for Mass Effect, and that was probably the game I stuck with it the most, but I'd much rather be in first person looking down the gun than playing over the shoulder and shooting.
You really want to murder people? You can't.
yes. But yeah, that's, I don't know, that's just my opinion. But it is a lot easier to shoot people in this game.
Yeah. Well, because they had experience. I mean, since the Grand Theft Auto 4, they did Red Dead and they did Max Payne.
Yeah.
So both of them had strong shooting mechanics, so I'm sure they could have just barred it from there. And but I don't know. I was always fine with that kind of... I think it worked better for... I don't know. I think it worked better.
I mean, the story is really good, and the idea of having it from three different perspectives and having all those stories intertwined really, really is very cinematic, I guess, and it's different because I don't really remember too many stories that follow multiple characters like that. But again, I think that's the only way they can drag it out for 35 hours, whatever the storyline is. But yeah, it's very good, very very much. Well deserves the 97 Metacritic that it has right now.
Is there anything that you so far have found that you really didn't like besides the graphics?
No. There's a couple parts in the game that I don't want to give away, but some people probably know that I'm not looking forward to particularly.
People have already talked about it. I think the cat's out.
I guess there's a pretty graphic torture scene where you're doing the torturing that I'm not particularly... I just don't want to play, but... You know, that's part of the game, so I guess I'll have to.
it's weird how there's this, and I think this is one of those things that's very difficult to explain to non-gamers, this idea of shooting that doesn't feel like shooting. Like, okay, if you made a list of all the things you do in GTA, you would think that torture is like, okay, just another one. You know, yeah. You're shooting people all the time. But there is a weird difference when you're torturing because there's that... I don't know, the mutilation aspect of it, rather than, you know, this is the disconnect I feel like GTA has always had, and a lot of Rockstar games, really. It's that, like, the killing, it's fun, but it's not like you're murdering. It doesn't feel like murder. When I played a GTA game, I was never like, oh my god, I finally get to murder these people, play out my dreams. Like, I had people always in the news, there's all these things of like, you know, it's awful. You get money and points after you kill people, which is true. You're like, well, that's pretty messed up. But it doesn't, there's not that actual feeling of deliberate murder. And in that same way, when you do a torture scene, it feels a little more deliberate from what I saw. You're doing more. That's why it's not like when you kill somebody, you slowly stab them or something. Like, I don't know if you guys remember that scene from Saving Private Ryan. That always got me near the end.
So in The Last of Us, when you choke somebody out, or when you murder somebody in The Last of Us, it's very much more real in that sense. Like, when you're choking somebody out, you're sitting there for, like, two full seconds, which is a long time.
Yeah.
In something like this. And, you know, it's a lot more graphic when you're bashing somebody in the face with a brick. It's a lot more grim. So what do you think this does the fact that this is the best-selling, well, will be the best-selling game of all time and the fastest-selling game of the first day, does this say anything about our society right now other than we're a bunch of maniacs? like you said, I think it's very hard to justify this to people who don't play games. It's just when you take it for, you know, when you boil it down to the bullet points of what you do, I think it just doesn't make, it looks terrible to outside people.
But it's all contextual. It's the same thing, like, I don't think there are very many people who think you're an evil person for wanting to see The Dark Knight, where people get beat up and people get blown up all the time. This is the thing that it's difficult when you don't play games. In the same way, I feel like if you don't watch a lot of movies, you might think all this violence is just evil. It's like most people don't, to me, play the game so you can specifically kill somebody. That's something part of it. It's a heist game. There's going to be death in it. But I don't think you deliberately play it. And when you talk about shooting mechanics, it's almost like with Call of Duty.
Well, it's nothing, like you said, I mean, it's nothing like being first person playing Call of Duty, let's just say.
But, you know, to me, even then, like, you're like, oh, I got a headshot. There's almost, to me, or even more blatant would be the Time Crisis series, because you actually hold up a gun. To me, it's more like the feeling that, like, I was able to make that snap movement and get them. It's not that I was able to murder them.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to explain, but I mean, it's the only way I can compare it is to talk about movies, because everybody watches movies, and violence is very integral to movies because it's a plot device often. It's something that's normal. It's realistic. And Grand Theft Auto, it definitely pushes the boundaries, but it's not.
So you're telling me that Duck Hunt was training our children to kill more so than Grand Theft Auto.
You know, when I saw that shitty ass dog who's like, I wanted to murder a dog. That is what I did.
I think you missed the point of the game.
I don't know. What do you think, Josiah? Like, I think this is a big point, but it's hard to explain.
You know, I'm okay with violence in games. But I will not play Grand Theft Auto. I played part one and two. That was like very old school top down.
Yeah.
And I think they were shareware games back in the day.
Yeah.
And I played them, and you know, I put them down, and then I saw GTA 3 come out. That was more, you know, polygon graphics and all that stuff. And I was like, and to me, the thing that I find distasteful is not necessarily the killing and the violence, because like I said, I'll play Gears of War, I'll play, you know, Mass Effect has its share of violence, etc. But the thing I find distasteful is the misogyny, the treatment of women, or you know, and the lack of female characters that have any other purpose besides, you know, sexual innuendo. The drug use, stuff like that. Not, you know, you look at games and drugs can be part of the plot, but you see their impact. In this, it's making sport of, oh yeah, I made money off of, you know, selling these quote-unquote drugs, and you're not feeling the impact, or you're not seeing the impact. So for me, I'd rather not play GTA. I just, you know, and even strong language. I'm, you know,
oh,
I swear every once in a while on the show, and in real life, in the RL, but you know, just the way that they use it, and it's just
they swear a lot.
Flagrant, you know. And I don't feel like, yeah. You know, I guess what it gets down to is, I can't relate to any of those characters. you know.
Oh really?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I'm from the streets, so all of these characters directly relate to my life.
No, I mean, you know, I'm not saying they have to be like me, but can I relate to them? And that, as far as I can tell, I'm not motivated to do much of what's in the game. Although I do like a good bank heist. So
can I just answer a question? So we had a question from the audience that was who my favorite character is in GTA 5. And so far I'd have to say Michael. I think he's the most drawn out character. Yeah, well, you get a lot of his story.
He's the former criminal, right, that they try to bring him back in? Well, because the other guys are Trevor, and Trevor's a crazy guy. And
yeah, but I don't want to give it away.
Okay, you don't have to give it away. But, like, he's a rich guy or whatever.
Yes, so he's, like, the guy kind of, like, midlife crisis. He was former bank robber, just went into witness protection, and is just kind of living off of his money and not doing anything. Very dysfunctional family and marriage. But I think a lot of the missions you do are related to his relationship with his family, and I like that side of it. I think the best storytelling comes out of him. Mm-hmm. That being said, the other two characters are pretty good. I just don't think they're a lot more straightforward. Although Trevor's an absolute wild card, and you just don't know what he's about to do.
Yeah.
I will say, so my favorite part of this game, though, is just how diverse the mission set is. So it's not just like, oh, go and kill these people and then come back.
Yeah.
You know, I've done everything from driving. Well, I there's just a lot of different types of missions.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's unrivaled with any other. Like, I did yoga today for one of my missions.
I think that's a staple of GTA and something you've always been good at, and that's the reason why I've been critical of other games. And, like, a lot of people argue that once you have a game that's of a sufficient size, you can't make a lot of missions. For example, most MMOs,
there are a lot of fetch quests. Yeah,
and I would argue a lot of Skyrim. They did better than most MMOs, but a lot of Skyrim felt like fetch quests. But admittedly, it takes a ton of time and effort to do these kind of things. Granted, I mean, Grand Theft Auto had $250 million to spend, and 5 years of development. But definitely.
Yeah, but this is the bar, though, and this is what other AAA games, especially RPGs anyway, this is what you have to live up to now. And we talked about in past shows and just in off the show, too, about how much more money and development is going into storylines and character development. And I think that's moving forward on next-gen systems. That has to be a thing that's included in a lot of these major production games.
Yeah. And you know, I am actually very interested in the game mechanics of GTA 5.
Come and play the online version. We'll go and play golf, and then I'll just whack you over the head with a golf club if you beat me.
Josiah playing, he'll just do yoga, golf, and
Josiah's the guy who, like, sits at all the red lights while he's waiting instead of driving through traffic.
It's funny because they have to make so many of those decisions. Like, they want to make it somewhat realistic. Like, I've seen, I saw a video where, like, you walk up to a random civilian, or I don't know why I say civilian, just a person, and they actually call the cops on you. You didn't really do anything, and then the cops come out.
They all, dude, every time if you, like, you do a lot from your cell phone, so I was just, like, looking up some, like, one of my missions on my phone, and the guy next to me just, like, threw his stuff down and, like, punched me in the face. I was like, yeah. You know what's funny? No, so I bought.
Those are the streets, Rob.
I bought this store. I bought this store on the boardwalk. And I was in my store trying to get a mission because they said there was a mission there. And the guy was, like, shopping in my store that I bought. And he's like, oh, watch where you're going. And then he tries to punch me. So I clocked him and then I knocked him out and I took his money.
This is life on the
street. Hey, man, he's in my store. Trying to disrespect me.
But these are the things that, like, they're the funny things that just happen.
The game is also, like, very laugh out loud. There are a few moments so far where I'm sitting alone in the dark in the middle of the night, and I'm just bursting out laughing.
And your roommate thinks you're really creepy because he just hears giggles coming out of the dark. So one thing I wanted to talk about, it's interesting. So Grand Theft Auto, obviously, it's mostly been known for its violence. Like, it's always been like to some kind of macabre, but it's always been taking a critical representation of America. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 3 was New York City, Vice City was Miami in like the 80s, San Andreas was kind of the hood in San Andreas, 4 Compton, was LA. Back in New York City, but he was like a foreign, Niko Bellic was, hey Roman, let's go bowling, it's me Roman. The Mexico, you know, they had a foreign person coming in, and the American.
Well, all of them so far have been up, like you start from the bottom, now we're here, right? I mean, they're all...
I hate that song.
But that's what they're all... By the way, I will listen to it. We don't talk about music on this show, Sean. but that they're all up and coming stories. They're all up and coming stories, whereas this one's much more. We're gonna put you in the middle of these guys' lives, and then you know see where it goes from there. I don't know if that was the point you're trying to make.
I actually didn't think about that because you're right. Because they are really all up and coming and are to some degree. And this one, like they kind of started, but. I find it interesting, so they always do that, and my understanding in this game, they're very critical of the L.A. lifestyle, the whole Rodeo Drive.
Ultra-consumerism, yeah.
But it's always American, and even GTA 1 and 2, and I didn't know this, like, seeing interviews with Dan Houser. I mean, Rockstar North, which used to be DMA Design, they're a UK-based group. Their whole thing, like, not that obviously any country can be critical of another, but it's interesting how deep you can cut considering you're not American. Like, every single game, from my understanding, the only GTA game that was even remotely European was they did a London game as an expansion pack.
DLC, yeah.
1 or 2. And, well, it wasn't DLC back then, but yeah. But it's so funny that all of these are done by Brits. Like, I just, because it's so American. Everything about it is so much about the American. And they do so many details. That's, I mean, yeah, sure, you can get it from any place, but I always think it's interesting to see that it's such an American game, but it's not American.
This is how foreigners view us.
Yeah. But it's so good, though. Like, it's not, they do a good job at it. And I think, basically, everybody loves America, right? No, but it's just, it's interesting. Like, I always saw this, and I always found it funny when I'd play some Japanese games, and I thought they had a lot of white, not even, I mean, obviously, many Asians have a white skin tone, but I feel like there are a lot of white characters. And not, obviously, you're going to have a diverse character set, but I always found it interesting that there'd be a lot of games that had this very Western feel. And this, I don't know, I just, every single game is so American. Considering how many good American developers there are, it surprised me that
it's been Brits all along.
So, any final thoughts?
Yeah, pop quiz for you, Rob. Oh, so next week we got Surface updates.
What do you want to see? I didn't think about this.
That's why it was a pop quiz.
So there's been rumors. About what the Surface 2...
No, don't tell me rumors. What do you want to see?
You let me talk. So the rumor... Well, okay. Well, I'll tell you what the rumors are and the fact that they're not what I want to see. What I want to see is the Surface Pro the same size as the Surface RT form factor, which is essentially like half as thin, with Haswell with 7 to 8 hour battery life. What we're getting... Supposedly, the rumors are is the same form factor with Haswell, but that's only going to increase it to maybe 5 to 6 hours, which is just not acceptable. The other thing, the other big rumor, well, I don't know if they might have actually just come out and said this already, but they're dropping RT completely, and they're just going to call it, well, they're dropping the name.
Yeah.
So they're going to call it the Surface 2, which is the Surface RT 2. Surface R2-D2. They should just make it a little robot that comes. You know, they could use the Mac.
A lot.
No, they use the Mac Pro form factor. Or what is it called? Not the Mac Pro. What's the trash can looking thing that Apple put out?
Yeah, Mac Pro.
Mac Pro, yeah. So they'll use that, and then they'll just paint it white and blue, and they'll call it the Surface R2-D2. Because it looks like a trash can, right? All right, so...
Let's say it again. What looks like a trash can?
Wait, explain that?
When is that coming out? Or did that already come out? Maybe it came out...
No, it's probably going to release in October.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. But anyway, yeah, so that's interesting.
So anyway, so they're getting rid of RT branding, and they're just calling it the Surface 2 and the Surface 2 Pro. But yeah, so
there's a Surface Pro 2.
All
right. That sounds like the next Fast and the Furious movie. Surface Pro 2. Like, I don't know. Surface 2 Pro.
But like I said, I mean, it's got Haswell, which is good. It's not. I don't think they're going to change the specs all that much, which is kind of disappointing. The battery life is the big thing. Like I could live with this form factor, but you know, if you're not getting 7-8 hours of battery life, like what's
so? What's the Surface 2 RT going to have? Like Bay Trail?
I think so, or at least that's the rumor.
Yeah. So what's Bay Trail?
It's the new Atom chipset.
But that's not ARM.
What's that? No,
Atom's not ARM. So how would Surface 2 have... Surface 2 is Surface RT, so that's ARM-based.
Yeah, but Bay Trail can run Android, so I would imagine Bay Trail can run RT. I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't seem like too much is going to change, according to the rumors, which is very, very disappointing.
I hope they're
wrong and they'll surprise me.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're gonna come out and say that the Surface Pro 2 is going to have 7 hours of battery life, but I guarantee you when you test it, it'll be 5 to 6.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. But I thought they already said that it wasn't. 70.
No, but when they're those are the rumors. But I think when they market it, they're going to be like, oh, because okay. I think they said the Surface Pro got 4 to 5, and it really doesn't. Gets more like 2.5 to 3 to 4, maybe.
That's nuts.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I guess it's just not enough.
We'll see. Yeah.
I will probably end up getting it. So that's that.
Probably.
Oh, the other big thing. The other big thing is they're coming out with a keyboard with a battery with it, that's part of it. So okay. Hopefully that might offset it. The only big thing is that I hope it's not like a big. Oh, they're making docking stations for it too, which is
I heard that.
But I hope they can do the type. The type cover is what I use anyway. So if they can get battery in that form factor, not make it any thicker, and then add, you know, even if it was 2 hours extra, that would be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a keyboard size, so you can make a really tall and wide battery, essentially. And I assume they have to make it the whole size because they can't make it, like, you know, they can't just do one bulge. You're typing on the keyboard and it's kind of. Like, although I don't know how battery technology works if you can just thin it out. Like, I don't know if you can smush it, but I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Yeah, you can make some custom shapes, but they're more expensive, you know? Like the cheap laptops will have that bulge because they're just using round batteries that they stick in there and put a controller chip on it and wrap it in plastic. They're basically like D cell size batteries. So I mean, they're not D batteries, but you know that's effectively what it looks like. You've seen those laptops with just the round bump on the back, you know. So they can customize it, but it takes more time and it costs more money.
So ideally, what we would see is the new Surface Pro, thinner than it is now, with 8 hours of battery life.
I don't think it's too thick. I mean, you use it every day. But
I've used both though.
Yeah.
I'll say I'm used to this now. But if I could have the RT form factor, that would be incredible. But you need the fans, I guess. So
yeah, like, is it possible? That's I guess the question. But what although I wonder, I mean, I don't know, maybe, I don't know how Haswell gets the battery life up, but who knows, maybe it's heat dissipation. But what do you think about pricing? How the Surface 2, because there have been a lot of price cuts to the RT recently.
That's
more in preparation, or is it permanent?
That's tough. I mean, I think if they were being smart, they would come out and start it at 400 to begin with, instead of 6, I think it was, the first time, the RT. Yeah.
You mean with the type cover, or without? Whatever the touch cover.
What is it now? 350 with it?
Actually,
or 350 without? I think it's 350 without it. So I think if they started at 400 without it, that would be a good price. I think you're going to see 500 to 600 still again, because I don't think Microsoft learns their lesson.
And then I think the Pro is going to be, again, what was it, 10, 1,000, 1,100? So, I think it was 1,000 even, 999.
Well, it's tough, too, because, I mean, if they have to take a loss on it, like, say they undercut the price, what does that do? How do they even make up their margin? Like, you know, other places you can make it up on software, like...
Windows 8 and Microsoft Office?
But the thing is, you're getting an RT, so it's not Windows 8. I mean, and you're not selling Office.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about that.
I'm talking about just RT, like if you are Surface 2.
I don't know.
If you're losing money, I don't know how you...
I don't know. To be honest, well, there was rumors that Nokia, well, I don't know if it's rumors or confirmed, but Nokia is going to come out with an RT device, which is doesn't make any sense at all. And well, I figured that...
It makes sense because Microsoft is buying them.
No. Well, it doesn't make sense that they would both put one out, though. It would make sense if Nokia, and if they announced that Nokia was going to make their new one, or whatever, however they're going to put it.
Right.
It's probably a pipeline thing. They had it. They're just going to release it. They probably already had the Surface 2. I don't know.
It was probably part of the contract. You know, Microsoft, before they bought them, they said, we're investing whatever, hundreds of millions of dollars in Nokia, and it was probably, you got to put out three phones and an RT device before 2014. So that's what it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
RT's
I mean, as far as cost, even when the Pro came out, Rob, we had this conversation. I compare it to not a tablet, but basically an 11-inch MacBook, MacBook Air, right? Mm-hmm. So, 11-inch MacBook Air for regular people is $999. I always look at the education cost because I'm an educator, so it's even cheaper at the education price. But it's got to be.
That's like an 11-inch Air, right?
Yeah, but that's the size of a Surface Pro screen.
True.
So you know, it's got to be if it's over $1,000, it's a no buy.
I'm pretty sure. Well, it's $999, but then you have to buy the $100 keyboard.
Right, that's
so
what I'm saying.
$1,100.
You know, the MacBook Air, you don't get the touch screen on the MacBook Air, but you get 12-hour battery life.
But you don't have a pen.
I mean, what do you do without a keyboard? I guess you could use a regular USB.
Yeah, right? You could use a USB keyboard.
Yeah. How many USB ports are there?
One. Well, yeah, I mean, you could use a Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah, and you could also get the USB expanders. So you could do that, but obviously, you know, a keyboard and a mouse would be tough.
Yes.
All right, so we'll see what happens. We'll see. That's coming up Monday, right, Rob?
Yeah, that's Monday.
All right, so we'll have something to talk about next Thursday.
All right, that'll do it for this week. On behalf of Josiah and Sean and myself, this is The Unwind. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Good night.